Hello and welcome to Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. Life is hectic. School, homework, sports, friends, family. Kids already have a lot to deal with every day. But when a child is also dealing with a bully or anxiety or depression, it can feel overwhelming and affect every part of their lives. Today on Carolina Classrooms, we'll take a look at programs being used in South Carolina to provide support and assistance for students and their families. Our first guest is Dr. Jan Urbanski, Director of the Safe and Humane Schools Institute on Family and Neighborhood Life at Clemson University. Thank you, Jan, for joining us today.
Thank you.
So your work focuses on reducing bullying and behaviors that are threatening or violent. And you are part of a program called ALVEAS.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bullying prevention program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, certainly. The ALVEAS Bullying Prevention Program is an internationally known program that's backed by over 35 years of research. Essentially, it's a multi-component program that really looks at comprehensively addressing bullying prevention in a school. The idea behind it is to really change the climate so bullying just doesn't happen or isn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
There's components at a school level, so that's the entire school is involved with training for a core committee, staff training, looking at your policies, your supervision, school rules, assessing what's happening in your school and where it's happening, and then ultimately kicking it off with the students. Then there's a classroom component, which is more the teaching component, where they post the school rules, enforce the school rules, talk about bullying, what it is, what it isn't, what mm-hmm. to do about it, as well as other social emotional issues. There is also an individual piece, so if bullying does happen, that you stop it on the spot, and how do you follow up with them? So how do you talk with the students who are bullying others and as well as the student who's being bullied? And then, of course, bringing the community in, because bullying doesn't stop at the schoolhouse door, so
right.
you want to make sure you're partnering with the community on bullying prevention as well. And parents just flow through all pieces of that. So overall, it's a comprehensive program
mm-hmm.
that you implement at the pace that your school's ready to do that.
So is the training and the materials, is there a point of contact at the school level that is like a primary person to help facilitate the training?
It varies
for this,
school by school. You certainly want to have administrator support and buy-in. It doesn't have to be the administrator in charge of it. Often
mm-hmm.
it's a student services person. It may very well be a teacher who has an interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the school. There's not a set person that it has to be.
Okay.
We just want to be sure that the people who are involved in the leadership team really represent the school population.
So what are some of the types of bullying that you see most or that are sort of trending right now? I know online bullying is a big topic of conversation.
Yes. Well, bullying is really any aggressive behavior where one person or a group of people generally repeatedly hurts another person physically or emotionally or through words,
mm-hmm.
And that person has a hard time defending him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen in person, it can happen online, it can be physical bullying, it can be verbal bullying, it might even be social, like relational aggression type bullying, where you're not wanting someone to feel good about themselves or how they belong. And then, of course, the cyberbullying. The most common form of bullying by far is verbal. Cyberbullying, although it's in the media as a huge problem, is truly one of the lower
mm-hmm.
percentages of what's happening. And we need to keep in mind that if someone is being cyberbullied, there's a good chance they're experiencing the traditional bullying as well.
So they're probably going through it face to face.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Going through the cyberbullying.
Right.
So what are some things that you could recommend that teachers or parents look for as signs of bullying? And what should they do if they see something mm-hmm. that they feel alerted to?
Generally, if a student is being bullied, you'll see a change in their behavior. You know, something they enjoy doing, they don't want to go and do any longer. Their school attendance may be impacted. Their school performance may be impacted. It may be something as simple as they're changing their route to school or leaving early or coming late to avoid something, or their route to class.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that stands out as it's something different or something has changed could be an indication that a student is being bullied. And really, prevention is really what we want to go for rather than waiting for a problem to happen. So both from the parent aspect as well as the classroom teacher aspect, being sure that you're talking about it before something happens, that as a parent you're involved and you know what the school's doing, and that you're talking to your child, family discussions about what your expectations are, and then as a teacher that you're spending some time talking about it in your classroom, that you have your rules posted, that the students know what they are, what they know what to do if they see it or if it's happening to them. So that would be the prevention piece of it. And then if something does happen, as a parent, you want to listen to your child and know that by the time they tell an adult, it's probably been going on for a bit and they've tried everything that they personally know how to do. So you want to get involved, even if they beg you not to. Talk to the school, knowing that the school may not be aware, because bullying doesn't generally happen in front of adults. So be open about that, communicating with them, seek resources from them, work with them to develop a safety plan for your child. And then in terms of a teacher, what they can do is really to be, again, listening, looking, increasing supervision. And if they suspect a certain child is experiencing difficulty, privately, individually talking with them about what's happening in the classroom. And then certainly if there is a problem, to follow the appropriate rules that and processes the school has in place to report what's going on so that the students who are bullying are also addressed. And again, working with the family, making sure the parent knows what's happening, and coming up with a plan.
So those would be effective steps for, for a parent or a teacher to take if they're seeing signs of bullying.
Correct.
What would be some things that you would not want to do?
Well, in terms of some things that really are misdirections in bullying, prevention starts really back more from the prevention piece of it. Zero tolerance policies have been shown not to be effective. So if a student is bullying another, you don't want to do the suspension or expulsion. That really tends to have students stop reporting. So it can have the opposite effect. You wouldn't want to be using conflict resolution or peer mediation, which is a very common and helpful thing if it's a conflict. But bullying isn't a conflict, it's victimization. So it could send a message that you're both a little right, you're both a little wrong, and that's not the case. Also, like a short-term kind of thing, like, well, we have a problem, so we're going to have an assembly, and that's all we're going to do. That may be a nice component of an overall program, but to just do one simple training for staff or one simple activity for students or parents really isn't enough to address the issue with that.
So if you suspect that a student's being bullied, and you're a parent, one of the first things you would want to do would be to contact the school and let them know. What would a teacher need to do if they are presented with something they suspect in their classroom?
Again, it depends on what the, how the rule, the policies and procedures that the school has in place for that. But generally, you want to talk and listen to, talk to the student, listen to what they're telling you. Avoid blaming them. Avoid labeling anyone a bully or a victim, and really just do a little bit of investigation of what's happening with that, and then certainly making sure that the all the students who are involved, it's addressed. But you certainly want to talk to the person who may be being bullied individually and separately, and then if there's one or more students who may be engaging in bullying behavior, you'll want to talk to them, but also individually and separately. And be sure to share expectations of what's happening and any appropriate consequences that they may have for their behavior.
Can you tell me a little bit, if a if a school is not part of the OLVAS program, what are some resources or places they can go to get more information about how to stop and or prevent bullying?
There is an excellent federal resource, stopbullying.gov. It's a combination of federal agencies that work together on that, and it's tons of information for administrators, teachers, parents, even students on what they can do and how to report it. You can find information about your state law. There's even training on what bullying is and isn't. So that would be the premier resource I would suggest.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate your insight and your help on this matter. It's a really important, important matter.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Students in the Beaufort High School Theater Program are working together to raise awareness with the production of their play, When You See Something, Say Something. Let's take a look. There's no color.
The title of the play is When You See Something, Say Something. Same title, but two versions of it. We have one for elementary school, first through fifth grade, and then another one for the middle school, sixth through eighth grade.
Because we've all been bullied at one point, that us sharing our stories will help other kids learn that they have friends and family that love them and they can speak up.
What you're trying to say is that I should stand up for myself. And if it doesn't work, walk away.
For the elementary school show, we tell the story through a second grader who goes through the school year dealing with bullying. The middle school show, we decided that our actions should speak louder than our words. We talk about labeling. We talk about how to overcome it. And a situation, we usually pick a situation where this is what has happened because of bullying.
When I was in ninth grade, I was bullied to the point where I tried to commit suicide. I went to the hospital, and then I had to go to a rehabilitation center. And when I got out, everybody was just like, we love you, why would you do that? And I just realized I had a lot more people supporting me than I thought I did. So I want to show other people that they have people who support them, even if they don't feel like they do.
This old world really ain't that bad.
We volunteer when they're doing the presentation, so we're sitting in the back watching the sixth graders, and very often you see strong emotional reactions. It starts a conversation that they might not otherwise have.
I hope that they go home and think about like what they've done or what they've said to somebody, and even the bullies themselves, that they'll stop what they're doing to other people. And I hope the victims realize that they need to speak up for themselves.
One of the greatest differences we've seen in Beaufort County is the fact that bullying is reported now at a higher level than it was prior to the play.
I would love for every school district to do what we're doing, to be invested in our kids, so we can make sure that they have the confidence to do what they need to do if they have a bullying situation.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, suicide is the third leading cause of death for kids between the ages of 10 and 14, and the second for people ages 15 to 34. With the help of a grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the South Carolina Department of Mental Health is developing a plan to keep South Carolina kids from falling into those statistics. Joining us today is the Program Director for the South Carolina Youth Suicide Prevention Initiative, Alexandra Caridi, and Tiffany Clark, Public Information Coordinator for the South Carolina Youth Suicide Prevention Initiative. Thank you for joining us today, ladies.
Thank you.
So we just have a few questions for you. If you could tell us a little bit about the grant and about the program and the purpose of it and how it helps serve our youth in South Carolina.
So in 2015, the state received the Gary Lee Smith Grant, which is the grant that's out of SAMHSA. Once we received that grant out of the Department of Mental Health, we were able to create this program. And we named it because we're developing our own identity and trying to really kind of bring awareness to suicide. And that's how we came up with the name South Carolina Youth Suicide Prevention Initiative. And the grant specifically looks at ages 10 to 24. So we're looking at that age range in the lifespan when it comes to suicide. And the grant is really focused on bringing awareness, education, and helping to develop a transition of care system in the state.
So how does it work? How do people benefit from this grant, or how are they able to tap these resources?
Well, one way they can tap into it is really connecting with us. So one of the things that we do is we reach out to different communities, we speak at different engagements, and we let them know that we have this initiative, that we have this program, and that if they contact us, we can help them build an awareness to suicide within their community. So it could be a school, a university, a hospital, a faith-based group, really anywhere, and any community can implement and embed suicide prevention in the community.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Jason Flatt Mm-hmm. Act?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Flagged Act is a really wonderful act that happened, and it's where we mandate teachers to get 2 hours of education on suicide awareness and prevention. It's really important because kids spend so much time in schools.
Right.
The people mm-hmm. that get to see them the most and really learn about them the most are their teachers often. Mm-hmm. And so preparing teachers for understanding what suicide looks like and how to really reach out to youth is really important. Yeah.
So what would be some things that you would advise teachers or parents mm-hmm. to sort of look for, some warning signs?
Suicide is it's a very complicated issue. There's so many factors involved. There's some things that you can see, and then there's some things that you just have to be aware of to know, to kind of be able to ask about. Mm-hmm. So some things that put someone more at risk could be like a situational issue, like a trauma or a suicide within the family or history of suicide mm-hmm. that's happened in their family or in their environment, in their communities. Other things are more like verbal signs. You know, maybe the person is saying that they're sad, that they feel hopeless, that they, you know, they don't want to be around anymore. Some other things could be like nonverbal or behavioral, where they might give their stuff away or they might become aggressive, that they change just the way they behave with others, mm-hmm. their grades drop, things like that. Some other things you might see in an individual who is feeling suicidal is that they are isolating further and further and not sharing as much of their time with others. Mm-hmm. They might be using drugs and alcohol. So there's so many things to look out for, but you have to know about them to be able to
So ask. Relationships yeah. would be important.
Relationships would be very important. You know, we often see, especially in adolescence, where there's a breakup or an end of a friendship. Those mm-hmm. are quite traumatic for young people. Mm-hmm. So all of those different situations, emotions, behaviors need to be looked at when we're looking at suicidal risk.
So what are some things that a teacher or a parent can do if they are noticing signs? What steps should they take?
Stay calm, because it's very scary. It's very scary for a parent to think that their child might want to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. It's very important to stay calm, and it's very important to be direct. So be direct with your language mm-hmm. and non-judgmental. So you ask the question, you know, I'm worried about you. I noticed that you're doing, you know, this, this, and this. And I'm worried that you might want to hurt yourself. I'm worried mm-hmm. that you might want to die or kill yourself. You want to be direct. Telling someone or asking someone about suicide is not going to make them want to kill themselves. If you don't ask them, it kind of compounds that secrecy. Mm-hmm. So you want to mm-hmm. be direct. You want to come in the conversation from a place where you just want to know more so you can redirect them to help. And then getting them mental health services, getting them community involvement, peer support, all of those are good things to do. But it first has to start with that conversation.
Right. And just, I'm so glad that you said that so concretely, that it's not going to push them further in that direction. No.
In fact, it actually reduces kind of your anxiety, because if you've been holding this for so long, if you've been mm-hmm. thinking about it and someone says, I can see you, I know you're hurting, you know, mm-hmm. talk to me, mm-hmm. I'm here for you. And you do it in a way that's non-judgmental. There's no shame in feeling this way. We all hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that you get heard and that you get help.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So how do we reach our youth? I know, Tiffany, you have some ideas about how we can reach out to them.
Yeah, so what we know about this demographic, the 10 to 24 age range, is that they live on the internet and more specifically social media. Mm-hmm. So most of our outreach and awareness is going to be heavily geared towards that. We want to offer stigma reducing campaigns. So doing things to promote mental health awareness as well as suicide prevention awareness. We want youth and young adults to understand that mental health is an issue and it's completely normal. It's just the same as breaking a bone. You're going to go to the doctor. If you're suffering mentally, it's the same thing, and there's help. And we want mm-hmm. people to know that what they're going through is completely normal. It happens to everyone, the feelings you're experiencing. So through our stigma-reducing campaigns, we'll be using safe messaging, safe slogans, and things that we want people to promote, hashtags, through our social media sites and our websites, and all of our partners, they're on board, they want to be involved. they'll be supporting us in this and retweeting, reposting, mm-hmm. things like that. So we know that that's our youth respond to that, and we know it's a good way to reach them through those ways. But not only with them, parents, teachers, what we know is that most people, when they have a question or wondering something, the first place they go is usually the internet before they even ask anybody else. Mm-hmm. They want to validate their feelings or just get some information about what's going on. So, right. So we know it's an extraordinary opportunity to disseminate information that way. So we want to do it in a safe way, but also in a way to reduce stigma and let people know, you know, what you're going through is normal, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. help.
And it doesn't have to stay that way.
You exactly.
Yeah, that way. Yeah, it's just a moment in time.
Right.
Yeah.
One a phrase that I love to use is, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And I really just love that phrase, and it's so true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to not be okay, but help is available, and, you know.
So would it be an idea to suggest that either counselors or teachers could refer kids to these internet resources then, if a child's not comfortable talking things through mm-hmm. with them? Would the child have access, or the adult, the young adult, to someone they could speak with if they're not comfortable?
Yes, we're very fortunate that there is actually a lot of national resources that are available. You have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is, you know, there's a counselor that's there 24/7 to answer your calls. There's even a texting support system. So there's the National Crisis Texting, and even the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has a texting service. So for people who are not so comfortable on the phone, I like to talk to somebody, but a mm-hmm. lot of our youth have told us they don't want to talk to somebody. They want to be able to text in to somebody. So there's a lot of resources out there. And even for certain demographics, certain age ranges and groups of people who might be more comfortable talking to someone that understands their particular mm-hmm. population, there's also resources available for them.
What we've come to notice is that peer-to-peer support mm-hmm. is a huge way for people to cope and get help. And through one of our partners, AFSP, there's many support groups around Columbia for people experiencing these things. So that's another way they can definitely get help.
And AFSP is the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing this information with us. I know it's a very important mm-hmm. thing for our youth and young adults to be able to have access to these things without a stigma. So thank you for your time.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
The topics we discussed today are not new, but there is hope, and there are programs here in South Carolina designed to help students cope. If you or someone you know needs help, you can contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. We'll continue the discussion of these and other topics on our website at scetv.org/Carolina Classrooms. Join us on October 26th for our next episode. Send your questions and comments to our email address at carolinaclassrooms@scetv.org.
Well, there you have it, the September SCETV presentation of Carolina Classrooms, the topic, Bullying and Suicide Prevention. Dawn Samples and her guest on that excellent program that can be seen each month during the academic year. For topics, just visit scetv.org/education to learn more about the Carolina Classroom series. And we're delighted to have the opportunity to bring the informative audio to you today on Speaking of Schools. This podcast from South Carolina's Department of Education is heard weekly at this website. My name's Doug Keel. I'm here each week, and we thank you for the pleasure of your company. We invite you to join us again next week when we'll be speaking of schools.